Okay, my friends, let's get this biannual ritual out of the way. It's not pink, it's rose. Jesus rose from the dead. He did not pink. Ba-donch. Anyway, today throughout the Universal Church, we temporarily put away the purple, the violet, penitential colored vestments, and priests, deacons throughout the world are now wearing rose. Because today, of course, is what we call Laetare Sunday, which means rejoice. You know, as I was praying about this homily, I was reminded of a really exceptional, very inspirational interview I saw several months ago. The University of Oklahoma, their softball team, they're having a press conference after these really inspiring women had won a national championship. And a reporter asks this group of college girls, how do you keep the joy for so long when anxiety can be a thing that could very easily set in? This is a very successful team, not just because they won the championship, but they had this long winning streak. They were the best, and there was so much pressure on these young women. Well, this girl, Grace Lyons, very aptly named, she went up to the mic and she just beautifully said, the only way that you can have a joy that doesn't fade away is from the Lord. Any other type of joy is actually happiness that comes from circumstances and outcomes. Joy from the Lord is the only thing that can keep you motivated in a good mindset, no matter the outcome. You know what wisdom from this young woman, such important recognition that there is a difference between joy and happiness. Yet sometimes, don't we need a reminder. Sometimes we forget to live in joy. Sometimes we forget to be grateful. We take life, we take our faith for granted. We don't reflect upon all that we have to be thankful for. Sometimes we need to be reminded of God's goodness. We need to be reminded of His love and His mercy. Today's readings do remind us of reasons we have to be grateful. The many reasons we have throughout salvation history to be filled with joy. This first reading from the second book of Chronicles begins three words, in those days. Begs the question, what days? Well, it's the end of this book, it's the end of the Chronicles, where we hear of the fall of Jerusalem and the Babylonian exile. We hear of Cyrus, this pagan king of Persia that Isaiah would refer to as the shepherd of Yahweh, anointed of Yahweh, this pagan king, a certain messianic figure because he brought Israel out of bondage, that the Lord used even a pagan king to bring about his goodness. King Cyrus's edict allowed the Jews to return from exile, allowed them to return to Jerusalem, allowed them to enter into to restore the temple and restore the sacred vessels that were once looted by Nebuchadnezzar. We recall the generosity of God throughout salvation history in today's first reading. And this, by the way, as we heard today, despite the people of God's continuous infidelity. All the princes of Judah, the priests and the people, added infidelity to infidelity, polluting the Lord's temple. Yet, early and often did the Lord, the God of their fathers, send his messengers to them, for he had compassion on his people. God loved, he continues to love his chosen people. He loves us despite ourselves, despite our sin. And so we rejoice, because we realize that his goodness, his generosity, the abundance of flowing of his grace continues. We rejoice Because like St. Paul in the book of Ephesians, we heard in the second reading, we have discovered that the God who is rich in mercy, that he has brought us to life in Christ. And we've come to know that he did this because of the great love he has for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions. We rejoice because by grace we have been saved. Saved through, as St. Paul says, the immeasurable riches of his grace and his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For by grace we have been saved through faith. And so, my friends, we rejoice because today we are reminded that we are his, that we are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for the good works that God has prepared in advance, that we should live in them. We rejoice too because the gospel reminds us that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. We believe, and so we rejoice. The Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, pursued us into our human nature. He pursued us into his creation. He sent his only begotten son to die for us, to die for our sin, so that we could live eternally with him. In fact, his reason for making us was so he might love what he made. The reason he made us was so that he could love what he made. And so we humbly rejoice, knowing that we deserve none of it. We didn't merit any of this grace. We rejoice because, like Nicodemus in today's gospel, we too have lived in the shadows, on the edges. We've lived in fear, afraid to openly live out our faith, perhaps. And yet God was patient. And like with Nicodemus, he moved us through grace. And so we rejoice. We rejoice because we know, like the Jewish people at the time of Moses, we too prefer darkness sometimes. Sometimes we hate the light. Yet, as Moses lifted up the serpent on the pole in the desert to heal the complaining hearts of those who looked upon it, upon the effects of their sin, so too, Jesus allowed himself to be lifted up on the cross to heal our infirmities. And so we rejoice, knowing that when we gaze in faith at the effect of human sin, our Lord's cross, saving grace is then activated within us. We have much, my friends, to be thankful for, and so we rejoice. God has entered into our human condition. He's entered into our brokenness. He has entered into our suffering. My friends, we are not alone in it. We are not alone in our pain. And that is why we rejoice today and every day. We rejoice because we were born again in baptism, literally recreated in Christ through grace, a new creation. We rejoice because he gave us his word to inspire us. We rejoice because he gives us himself in the most blessed sacrament, in the Holy Eucharist, to feed us so that we can be transformed more perfectly into his image and likeness. We rejoice because he has given us the sacrament of mercy, and that we can over and over again be forgiven for our sins. He forgives and he forgets our most shameful sins. We rejoice because he gave us his church to guide and lead us. We rejoice because his Spirit has led us to this particular family of faith. And we rejoice always, especially as we move towards Holy Week and the whole Easter season. My friends, the color pink has become a symbol of hope for so, so many millions of women who have and are surviving breast cancer. Pink or rose is also our symbol of hope. Hope in Christ, despite the suffering, despite the difficulties that can be our life at times. And so today we are reminded in the middle of our particular Lenten mortifications, our little Lenten deserts, and in the midst of whatever we were struggling with perhaps way before Lent began, that joy is perfectly compatible with mortification. It is perfectly compatible even with pain. This color is a reminder today of the hope we have in Christ. The penance, the mortification we do during these days of Lent, and the struggles that is our human condition at times shouldn't cast a shadow over our interior joy. Rather, it ought to increase it, because it ought to cause us to lean in on the Lord. For joy is essentially a Christian character. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, because we have the Holy Trinity dwelling within us when we're in a state of grace. The Trinity dwells in us, and we come to know that we are His beloved sons or daughters. And we have come to know all He has done for us, and that this grace, this reason for joy, continues. And so our fasting, our penance, our stripping away of some of life's pleasures helps us to more easily focus on the Lord, to focus on His goodness, to strip ourselves of this worldly distractions and focus on the reality that we are beloved, that He is madly in love with you. And so we rejoice. You know, my friends, it's not too late to have a very fruitful Lent. It is not too late to rejoice within this time. Let's pray for each other, and may God be praised. Amen.